three glasses of wine into a beachside conversation with Francis Ford Coppola in late 2019, the topic turned to something curious. 27 people sick in Wuhan, China. 7 were in serious condition. Chinese authorities were being vague, as usual. The waves lapped gently at the Belize shore, and the whole thing felt distant, almost abstract, like discussing a plot for a thriller that would never get made. Neither of us could have imagined that within months, this invisible enemy would kill millions, empty city streets worldwide, and transform every aspect of human life. That evening represents the last moment of collective innocence before the world fractured into before and after. What unfolded wasn't just a health crisis. It was a stress test of everything we'd built: our institutions, our science, our capacity for truth-telling, and our willingness to protect one another. COVID-19 killed with cruel inconsistency. Some died within days. Others developed lingering symptoms. Nearly one-third became long haulers, many barely sick initially. The tragedy unfolded behind closed doors, creating compassion fade when numbers grow too large to feel real. The virus exposed America's fractures with surgical precision. By mid-February 2021, COVID killed Black and Latinx Los Angeles residents at 2 to 3 times the rate of white residents. Mumbai's Dharavi slum, one of the world's most densely populated areas, somehow reported lower death rates than wealthy American cities. Two countries in early March 2020 tell the story. South Korea averaged 550 daily cases, while the UK reported 53. By month's end, South Korea dropped to 125 cases, while the UK exploded to 4,500. The difference wasn't wealth or technology, it was strategy. South Korea immediately deployed test, trace, isolate, and treat, leveraging lessons from previous outbreaks. Former CDC Director Bob Redfield identified an uncomfortable truth: America's high death toll reflected our poor baseline health. Obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, these diseases of privilege made us vulnerable. Poorer countries may have had another advantage: pre-existing immunity from regional exposure near the pandemic's origin. Expertise can blind you. When COVID emerged, scientists reflexively compared it to SARS and MERS, a mental shortcut that became an obstacle. We believed human-to-human transmission was unlikely, masks weren't helpful, asymptomatic spread impossible. We were catastrophically wrong on all counts. This mirrors the 9/11 Commission's findings: failures in policy, capabilities, management, and most critically, imagination. Just as we couldn't envision weaponized airplanes before September 11th, we couldn't imagine an invisible virus overwhelming America's healthcare system. On March 9, 2020, declaring the crisis a pandemic on CNN before the WHO's official designation brought immediate backlash: accusations of fear-mongering, threats requiring security intervention. Yet, with over 100,000 cases across every continent except Antarctica, every pandemic criterion was met. Meanwhile, CDC's Dr. Nancy Messonnier warned in late February that significant disruption to everyday life was coming. After her February 25th briefing, she was sidelined from White House briefings. Telling the truth had become a liability. A month before February's tabletop exercise, Dr. Carter Metcher warned, "Any way you cut it, this is going to be bad." National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien told President Trump this would be the roughest thing he'd face. The warnings were ignored. CDC Director Bob Redfield's requests to send investigators to China were repeatedly denied. His Chinese counterpart, Dr. George Gao, initially insisted there was no evidence of human-to-human transmission, apparently unaware the Chinese military had seized control of the outbreak response. Yet the first 27 cases revealed 3 distinct clusters, clear evidence of human-to-human spread. Testing too little, too late, became our original sin. The CDC developed test kits within days, but they failed in most labs. Rather than using the WHO's working test, America waited for its own system that never materialized. Redfield later revealed disturbing pressure to tamper with the CDC's MMRR reports, scientific publications considered sacrosanct in public health. Dr. Birx found herself among people who did not take the pandemic seriously. By mid-May, the administration attempted to artificially reduce death counts, and Scott Atlas promoted letting the virus rip through younger people. Rather than uniting against a common viral enemy, Americans fought each other along political lines. Despite COVID-19's devastation, viruses are essential for life. Thousands enter our bodies daily, with oceans containing nearly 200,000 viral populations. Bacteriophages destroy harmful bacteria on our mucosal surfaces, while your virome works alongside bacteria and fungi in your microbiome. Humans carry 4 times more viral genetic material than our own genes. Throughout evolution, viruses shaped human DNA, contributing to cognitive abilities and immune function. Ancient viruses gave us the syncytin-1 gene, essential for placenta formation. We literally couldn't exist without them. Viruses evolve at lightning speed. While human genomes took 8 million years to evolve by 1%, coronaviruses can change that much in days. As single-stranded RNA molecules, they accumulate mutations a million times faster than human DNA. Today, 3/4 of new infectious diseases affecting humans come from animals, with one emerging every 4 months. Bats, comprising 1/4 of all mammals, carry over 60 viruses that can infect humans. Their social nature, large colonies, and unique physiology make them perfect viral hosts. Geopolitical expert Jamie Metzl believes there's an 85% chance the pandemic started with an accidental leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, citing Wuhan's BSL-4 lab, known for bat coronavirus research, work sometimes occurring in less secure settings, and the WHO investigation being heavily controlled by Chinese authorities. 3 hours after COVID-19's genetic code was published in January 2020, scientists worldwide began developing tests and vaccines. Dr. Fauci directed his team toward vaccine development, entering phase 1 trials by March as New York's outbreak exploded. In November 2020, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla delivered extraordinary news. Their vaccine showed over 90% effectiveness, far exceeding the FDA's 50% threshold and typical flu vaccine efficacy of 40-60%. Moderna reported similar results. Both used revolutionary mRNA technology, turning the human body into an internal vaccine factory. Vaccines may have done more good for humanity than any other medical advance. Smallpox alone killed 400,000 Europeans annually at its peak before being eradicated. The last case was 2-year-old Rahima Banu in India in 1975. We've largely eliminated the memory of many diseases, which ironically fuels anti-vaccination sentiment as people forget polio, whooping cough, and measles. Despite overwhelming evidence, anti-vaccine movements have persisted since the 19th century, spreading faster today through social media. The mRNA COVID vaccines represent breakthrough technology built on 30 years of research, stimulating both antibody production and killer immune cells. Despite accurate predictions, the pandemic caught many unprepared. Climate change and habitat loss create conditions for more frequent outbreaks. Dr. Bonnie Henry, British Columbia's health officer, drew on SARS and Ebola experience to act decisively in January 2020. Her compassionate approach, be kind, be calm, be safe, earned recognition as one of the most effective public health figures in the world. Risk tolerance varies dramatically. A 0.5% fatality rate alarmed one superintendent, 1 in 200 will die, while another saw it positively, 99.5% good. Our brains struggle with novel threats, defaulting to emotional responses. Optimism bias, false control, and habituation distort risk calculations. Ahmad Ayad, a 40-year-old marathon runner, became one of Johns Hopkins' first ventilator patients. Despite exceptional fitness, he lost 60 pounds of muscle during his 25-day coma, a stark reminder that even the extremely fit weren't immune. The pandemic exposed America's obesity epidemic, affecting 40% of adults. three pillars support immunity: movement, sleep, and stress management. 22 minutes of daily exercise strengthens immune function so significantly, the CDC lists inactivity as a risk factor. COVID propelled advances like mRNA vaccines while stripping life to essentials. The pandemic will leave a scar, but scars evidence healing. We survived, learned, and grew stronger.